a distinguished panel of legal experts here to speak to us today about the issue of Canada's participation, NATO's participation in the attack in peacetime of a small sovereign nation and the implications of that for the future of democracy and the future of the rule of law. Our first speaker this morning is Walter Rockler. Walter Rockler served 4 years in the U.S. military, 1 year in the Navy, 3 years in the U.S. Marines during the Second World War. He was then a prosecutor at the Nuremberg War Crimes Tribunals following the Second World War, where he served for 2 years in that capacity at Nuremberg. On his return to the United States, he practiced law, and he was the first director and set up the Office of Special Investigations in 1979 under the U.S. Justice Department. This is a program to track down Nazi war criminals in the United States with a view to denaturalization and deportation. Mr. Rockler is senior counsel in one of the largest law firms in Washington, D.C., and it's a pleasure to have Mr. Rockler here in Toronto. Mr. Rockler.
Thank you, Mr. Orchard. Ladies and gentlemen, some 60 years ago, when I was then relatively young, a well-known German woman film director produced a film called, I believe the title of it was, The Triumph of Will. This was a film dedicated to the glory, heroism, and military power of Nazi Germany. As the last couple of days, we've been faced with a new triumph, which in many respects has some of the same characteristics. This triumph is a triumph of credibility. In my country, my president, my secretary of state, assured the Serbs and the rest of the world that if they did not comply with our orders to them, we would bomb them. And we would bomb them until they would give up. And this has occurred. The Serbs did not comply immediately. When we said jump, they did not jump. Therefore, we have bombed them for almost 3 months. I think the current statistics are something like 35,000 airplane sorties and something like 20,000 to 25,000 bombs have been dropped, essentially, on Serbia. Now, you've got to congratulate all the NATO powers because this was quite a demonstration. Of course, the Serbs, or the Yugoslavs, did not have great anti-aircraft defenses that would reach up to 30,000 feet. Therefore, in these heroic sorties, we ultimately accomplished what we sought to do. Although it's not quite as comprehensive and complete as represented. We maintained throughout the splendid diplomatic posture of holding a non-negotiable position. In other words, whatever we told the Serbs to do, we would not vary from 1 inch. And the bombing itself was represented to be a demonstration of credibility. Now, the American authors of this campaign actually, in personal terms, lack some credibility, but that's neither here nor there. The bombing campaign itself proved to be credible. And, of course, I regard that as a great success. What have we accomplished? What is this triumph? The triumph, in my judgment, is to undermine the UN Charter, destroy a substantial part of the Nuremberg judgment directed at Nazi war criminals, and reduce an imperfect international law to something more closely resembling anarchy and the use of untrammeled power. NATO, which was originally conceived to be a defensive alliance under the umbrella of the Security Council of the UN, has been transformed into an instrument for aggression. And that is my primary thesis. The thing that I find particularly offensive to this campaign is that I am a citizen of the United States, and it's being done in my name. And I object to that. I just don't have the characteristics we used to describe of a good German. A good German, for those of you who don't know what the expression means, was someone who did whatever his government told him to do. Why do I say that this war is essentially, from the standpoint of law, a criminal enterprise? Because when the Nazis were tried at Nuremberg, the primary count was launching a war of aggression against their neighbors, invading Poland, invading Belgium, Holland, invading France, invading Norway, invading Denmark, invading, among the other countries, Yugoslavia, where their opponents were the Serbs, invading Greece. I don't want to go through the list because it's even longer than that. But why were they charged? At that time, they were defenders of the defendants. And on the basis that launching war is okay, what's the matter with it? It's been the experience of the human species since almost its inception. Well, the Germans had, among other things, signed a treaty in 1928 called the Kellogg-Briand Pact. And for those people who don't like those names attached, it was the Pact of Paris, along with about 75 other countries in the world, including all the major powers. In that instrument, which Canada and the United States signed as well, the countries involved represented that they would renounce war as an instrument of policy. And you can match that up against the bombing campaign and see whether that pledge was honored. The Germans, as well as the Western powers, have entered into a series of non-aggression treaties from time to time, which are essentially repudiated by these actions. The tribunal at Nuremberg, which was not a tribunal, it was a four-power court, held that the ultimate crime in international law, the ultimate war crime, is launching an unprovoked attack upon another state, another country. What is unprovoked? Unprovoked means when the other country has not attacked you, when it's not a defensive war. A defensive war under the charter is permissible. But obviously Yugoslavia or Serbia has not gone outside of its borders to attack anybody, never did at any point in the last 10 years. So you meet the classic definition of what is a war of aggression. And this, in the opinion of the tribunal, as I said, was the supreme crime. In other words, launching a war carries with it every crime that may be committed in that war. So that's what war is, basically. It happens to be a sanction, but essentially criminal activity inherently. The UN Charter actually does not even give the Security Council power to intervene in any state's domestic affairs. There are provisions of the Charter, Article 2, Sections 4 and 7, which prohibit interference in the domestic jurisdiction of any state, which prohibit the threat of military force, which prohibit the use of military force. Now, on what basis could the UN act? It would have to be that you had a state of affairs which truly threatened peace. That could arise out of a civil war. But there is no provision in the UN Charter which says any country may invade any other country to uphold what it represents to be human rights. There just is no such provision. There is no treaty that provides that. The United States was one of the authors of the UN Charter. And it insisted on veto power for the major powers in the Security Council. This was a characteristic of the Security Council which we wanted. So did the Soviets, for self-protection. In other words, we could not be attacked in the Security Council over our veto. So this was the procedure set up. NATO was created, as I said, as a defensive alliance. But if you look at the treaty terms, it purports to be totally under the UN. It's a defensive alliance subject to the control and oversight of the Security Council of the UN. Obviously, in this attack, which has always been labeled NATO, and which I regard as primarily American, and I regret to say that, the Security Council was deliberately bypassed. Now, you say that's because we might have run into a veto on bombing. Yes, we might have, and that was the conception of the UN. The UN essentially required that there be no veto with respect to military action. And we might have had that. We never explored non-military means. In fact, we didn't even utilize at the outset a pretext of humanitarian violations in the Kosovo case. That was batted around at some length with respect to Bosnia. But at the outset of the Kosovo crisis, when the KLA, labeled by the United States earlier as a terrorist organization, was murdering Serb policemen and Serb officials in Kosovo. And let me say, I'm not inherently pro-Serb or anti-Albanian, but these are the facts, I think. At that time, the grounds on which the United States urged action to solve the situation was not widespread humanitarian violations. It was a somewhat preposterous reading of history to the effect that, I remember a speech by President Clinton along this line, to the effect that the Balkans were always a source of all world wars, and we had to step in to make sure that they weren't troublesome. We would determine what would happen there. The humanitarian violations, or alleged humanitarian violations, in effect followed the bombing. They were not the basis on which the bombing was undertaken. There was virtually no expulsion of Albanians. There were no murders, except essentially murders by the KLA of Serb policemen, 5 or 10 at a time in ambushes, which furnished the pretext for this military invasion. Well, why the military invasion? I have a lot of trouble explicating the reasons. For some reason which is not clear to me, ever since the Yugoslavian civil wars began, we adopted essentially an anti-Serbian position everywhere. Why there should be this hostility to the Serbs, I do not know. But this very quickly became something else. We were going to determine the conditions under which this country would live thereafter. And this will, the triumph of will, as Ms. Riesenstahl stated, is what to me is really involved. Now, this triumph involves the shredding, to me, of international law. It involves substituting anarchy for an imperfect system of international law. It avoided any diplomatic negotiations of any kind between the NATO aggressors and the Yugoslav government. All our demands were non-negotiable, and that, to me, is a key element of the situation. What does non-negotiable mean? It means you do as we say or we'll bomb you, and we'll bomb you endlessly. And, of course, our bombs are not perfectly accurate, so we will kill a certain number of civilians. We know that. We'll bomb bridges. We'll bomb factories. We'll bomb sanitariums. We'll bomb hospitals. We'll bomb roads. We'll bomb waterways. We'll bomb electric plants. We'll bomb your country out of existence. That is the triumph which has been achieved. Thank you.